The wheels in my head are turning about pronouncing the name of my next guest, Srinivas Thirorambandhai. He is the Director of Research and the Managing Director of the Jerome Levy Forecasting Center. He's based in Mount Kisco, New York. And Srinivas joins us in the studio today. Srinivas, the Jerome Levy part, that I can pronounce, but your last name, Thiruvananthai. What does that mean? And where is that from?
It's actually a village 25 kilometers or so south of Chennai. You know, Chennai, which used to be called Madras in the British days. So it's where my ancestors come from.
In India?
Yep.
If your ancestors were to take a look at the U.S. economy right now, other than being amazed at all the stuff we seem to think is important and necessary, what do you think their view is? Give us the view from outside the U.S. in a way.
You know, the view from outside the U.S., I have to say, is a little bit, they're perplexed, I would say, that many are, to some extent, even upset that the U.S. is doing so well. In a way, I mean, that's the general news I get. They see somehow this is undeserving, that somehow the U.S. should be doing well.
Everybody forgot the crisis that we went through for.
Yeah, I know.
Why undeserving? Because
they see that the U.S. is having caused the problems for everybody around the world, and somehow the U.S. is coming out looking rosier than everybody right now, and. You know, for most people don't understand, you know, the true institutional strengths of the U.S., which makes it resilient and
talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, for one, most countries don't have the same degree of fiscal capacity and the institutions like the Fed, which have the credibility to be able to backstop and resuscitate the financial system like we were able to do.
So we've got scale.
Yes, we have scale, and that has come through 200 years of having stability and growth and prosperity. It's not achieved in one day, and that's the main reason.
You're so right, because I was in India, December of 2007, and I remember many individuals saying at the time, the emerging world's going to be fine. We've got our own separate economy. We're doing just fine. Thank you very much. Whatever happens in the United States, it's not going to matter. And I remember talking to, I think, Steve Roach, who said, well, wait a minute. It's a connected world.
Yep.
And the crisis taught us that we really are more than ever connected.
Yes.
So what does it mean, though, for a strong U.S. going forward? If it's a strong U.S., should not then a lot of the emerging world prosper?
That is, in the past, that generally held true. And the main reason was the U.S., whenever we used to take off and our growth used to pick up, our trade deficit used to widen, that means that emerging markets benefited from a widening trade surplus, mm-hmm. which was a big source of their stabilization. If you go back to the Asian crisis, immediately after the Asian crisis, what happened was between 98 and 2000, our trade deficit expanded by $200 billion, which was a direct boost to those economies. It was important for stabilizing those economies and pulling them through. Then again, in after the 2001 recession, a similar thing happened. This time, the U.S. trade deficit is not expanding because, you know, partly secular changes, partly petroleum. The secular changes is U.S. manufacturing is slowly starting to gain more of the domestic market share, at least.
But you're going to tell me most of the clothes that I'm wearing that I know is made overseas.
Right.
Whether it's high-end or low-end, it's made overseas.
Yes.
You're telling me that that's going to come back to the United
States?
That may be
those kind of low-value added eventually will also come back once everything is replaced by robots. Why would I want to have a factory in China or elsewhere?
You see that happening.
Yeah, but that is probably the last edge. I think the higher value added stuff is already probably a lot of it has, at least we have stopped bleeding, even if not coming back. We clearly have stopped bleeding.
So we can see
it in the trade deficit.
So, Srinivas, as those emerging economies work to develop their domestic economies, it's taking a little bit longer than everybody thought, and so that's not enough of an engine to help them out.
Developing a own domestic economy is much harder than most people think, which is why export-led strategy has generally worked well, because requiring a domestic economy means you need to have strong domestic credit growth, mm-hmm. which means you need to have the institutional capacity to manage that credit growth and therefore manage cycles. Because if it's a domestic economy, you're going to have domestic cycles and therefore domestic credit problems. And as you know, you see China, you see India, you see Brazil. I mean, all of the countries are having their own set of credit problems plus inflation issues. It's much harder said than done.
Yeah.
Now, all of these regions also have their own set of risks.
Yes.
And I want you to talk a little bit about the concept of risk, because we compare, we say, well, you know, should you put your money into stocks? Should you put your money into treasury bonds and corporate bonds and so on? you got to understand, not all investments are equal, not even in terms of what they are, but in terms of the risk you're taking.
That is absolutely right. See, the emerging markets, the main problem is, unlike U.S. and to a lesser extent Europe, they don't have the institutional capacity, especially the ex-China, to stabilize, to control their own fate. Whereas we in the U.S., we control our own fate to some extent, to a large extent. And that's the real problem, because they need capital flows. And if capital flows goes away, you can have a crisis. And that's why there is a much bigger risk in emerging markets.
All right, we're going to continue, because we want to. We love what we're talking about. We're going to continue our conversation. We're talking with Srinivas Thiruvadanthai. He is the Director of Research and Managing Director at the Jerome Levy Forecasting Center, normally in Mount Kisco, but lucky for us, he's right here in studio. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox, and this is Taking Stock.